text for this morning is taken from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I will read to you from verse 1 to verse 12. Mark chapter 10, verse 1, verse 12. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. And he arose and then from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him, and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife, and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Please keep your Bible open to our text, which we have just read, Mark chapter 10. The topic is, Till Death Us Do Part. And this is a statement found in the vow, in the wedding or the marriage vow is taken on the wedding day. Many of us here are already married. You are very familiar with this vow. You have taken this vow before. We saw this vow being taken yesterday by Andrew and Gekping. They got married yesterday. Till death us do part. It's something we must take seriously, for marriage is for life. It is for life. And the message here is not only for those who are already married, but also those who intend to marry. And please know, when you get married, it's a big step. You must take it seriously. And you must remember the vow that you have made, the vow you'll be making when you get married, till death us do part, which is according to the scriptures. Marriage is for life. Marriage is good. It is a divine institution. God put it there. God made it. And Hebrews 13 verse 4 tells us, Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is very good, very holy, something very blessed, something God has put in place and given to us to enjoy. But there is a warning. We are living in a very sinful world, and we ourselves also are born in sin and are prone to sinning against God and breaking His commandments. And so there is this warning over here. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And the problem is that we are living in a very immoral society. In a very immoral world. We are living in an adulterous generation. Today many are addicted to pornography. Cursed internet that's come into our homes. So readily available by the click of a button. In years past, pornographic material is not so available. It is illegal to sell such magazines or literature. But today we find this being very pervasive in our homes through the internet. And many are addicted to this. Is anyone here indulging in pornography? Addicted to pornography through the internet? This is something very sinful, very filthy, very unclean. And it will destroy your marriage, dear friends. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But many beds are defiled today through fornication, pornography. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And if we do not want God to judge us, we better judge ourselves right now. And then today, our young people, teenagers, indulging in premarital sex. And when they get pregnant, what do? Do they not commit the sin of murder when they abort their babies? It's a double sin. It's become fashionable today to sleep with many people. You're the odd one out if you don't. And there's a whole lot of teen pressure as well. And many of us may get tempted to fall into such a sin. Oh, I don't want to be left out. How we must guard ourselves, dear friends. And then today, in a globalized world, with a lot of traveling, right? Now when you want to do business, you have to travel. And some of us may travel frequently and often. And with all this traveling, working overseas, there are many, many temptations. And so there are some who not only have a family here, they also have a family in another country. Secretly get married overseas and start a family on their own. And this is not something found in the world. There are Christians also who have fallen into that trap and into that sin. Even leaders. I know of a deacon. He has a family here in Singapore. But he has also another family in China. And if this can happen to leaders in the church, how much more members? And then also, pastors are not spared, you know. Pastors also can get tempted. And they can fall into sin. And become disqualified for ministry. In the United States, we hear of many cases. When I was in Grace Theological Seminary, in our graduation, they had invited a speaker. He was very famous in the United States, a pastor of a big church, and he wrote a best-selling book on how to grow the church, how to have a large church. and he was invited to speak to us who were graduating. Yes, he gave a fine message, a fine sermon to all the graduates, and his book was also a textbook that we were required to read and to review in one of our courses. A few months later, we received the news how he had committed adultery. He had an affair for many years. And once he was exposed, he had to resign and step down from ministry. Something very shameful, isn't it? And then there is also the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, the head of the evangelical churches in the United States, Ted Haggard. This is well publicized. What shocking news to the evangelical world in the United States when this happened, when Ted Haggard, pastor of a mega church, leader of the evangelical churches in the United States. He was a married man, he had a family, but he was involved with a male prostitute. And when this was exposed, he had to resign. He was disqualified from ministry. How sad it is. Now, we do not judge these people, because we can also end up in the same boat and fall in the same sin if we are not careful. The temptations out there are very, very real and very great and very powerful. And apply this to myself as well. And the leaders will come under great attack. I urge you to pray for your leaders, for those in the session. Pray for yourselves every day that the Lord will keep you from evil and from falling into such sins. Satan is like a roaring lion. He's on the prowl looking who he can eat up, who he can devour. And you must not be weak in the faith. You must be strong. You must be alert. And that's why we must walk closely with the Lord. That's why we keep telling people, please, don't forget to do your daily devotions, read the scriptures, pray every day, have a prayerful spirit throughout the day. Come to church. Don't take God lightly. Don't take God's word lightly. You need the Lord. You need His word. Many a time we don't care. And then when we fall into sin, yes, there is forgiveness, but there are also consequences. Don't ever fall into sin. And we must begin right now to make sure, program in our heart and in our mind, determine in our heart and mind, never, never to sin against God in such a way. It's no wonder that divorces are going up. And many get divorced after 5 or 10 years of marriage. They call it quits. They end it all. Recently, a University of Iowa study revealed that one of the main causes of divorce is premarital sex. And in their research, they found that 31% of marriages end up in divorce because the couple had engaged or indulged in premarital sex, that sex before marriage. That's fornication, you see. Sex must only be practiced within the marriage union. with God's blessing, and you do this outside of God's blessing, you break His commandment, there are consequences. 31% end up in divorce, matter of 5 years, and 47% in 10 years. In 5 or 10 years, half already would have ended their marriage. Don't ever engage in premarital sex. There are consequences. And over here, in Mark chapter 10, we are told that it is a wicked, adulterous, and unregenerate people who think that divorce is lawful and it's okay. Here we have the Pharisees. In verse 2, the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Is it lawful for man to put away his wife, tempting him?" Now these Pharisees were religious leaders. They were supposed to know the Bible, supposed to be spiritual, but they are not. Supposed to be born again, regenerate, but they are not. And that's why Jesus had to tell Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and came to Jesus by night. You read that in John chapter 3. And Jesus says, "You must be born again." He was a pastor of the nation of Israel, one of the pastors, a Pharisee. But Jesus told him, "You must be born again." The Pharisees here who questioned Jesus, they may be spiritual leaders, supposed to be shepherds of God's flock in Israel, not born again. They were against the Lord Jesus. They were opposed to His teaching. And they wanted to tempt the Lord Jesus to trap Him. And so they asked this question, "Is it lawful for man to put away his wife?" Tempting Him. And in those days, what was the Pharisaical teaching? What did the Pharisees, these rabbis, teach about marriage and divorce? There's a popular school in those days of the Pharisees, led by Rabbi Hillel, Hillel's school. And Rabbi Hillel taught this. It says, a man can divorce his wife if she spoils his dinner. You can divorce your wife if she's not a good cook. The Pharisees in those days taught these things. You can divorce your wife. You find that she is a very loud and noisy woman, and she talks so loudly that your neighbor can hear. You can divorce her. Such things. You can divorce your wife if you catch her talking to a man outside. You can divorce her. And then there's Rabbi Akiba. If you find a more beautiful woman, you can divorce your wife. That was the kind of teaching on marriage and divorce in the days of Jesus. And so when the Pharisees here came to Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Of course, Jesus knew what they were teaching. Many wrong, erroneous, sinful, wicked things. And there was a lot of injustice against the women in those days, especially against their wives. And Jesus, how did Jesus answer? What does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? You always go back to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are very clear in regard to the teaching of marriage and divorce. In verse 3 we read, "And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you?" And I'm sure Jesus must be thinking right here of what Moses had commanded in the Torah, in the law, which are the first five books of the Bible, right? Genesis to Deuteronomy. And in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we have the institution of marriage when God created men and women and put them together. And they are one flesh. It's for life, a permanent union. Jesus must be thinking of that. Did they know about Genesis 1 and 2? Of course they did. Jesus also must be thinking of Exodus chapter 20, the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." That is your answer to your question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? But they were not thinking of these things. And they answered Jesus. And they said in verse 4, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." The law of Moses allows for divorce. So what do you say to that? Is there a contradiction in the scriptures? On the one hand, God had ordained marriage to be a lifelong union between husband and wife. And on the other hand, we find the law of Moses allowing for divorce. Is there a contradiction here in the Bible? Did God contradict himself? Of course not. God never commanded divorce. Over here in Deuteronomy 24, yes, Moses allowed for divorce, but that was never God's ideal, never God's commandment. God allowed it by his permissive will, but he's not happy with this. The original ideal, when God made all things very good and perfect and holy, is that a man and a woman should be joined together for life. No divorce whatsoever. But why? Why did Moses allow or permit this bill of divorcement to put her away? Jesus gave the answer. Not because of God. Not because God sanctions it and commands it or requires it, but God allowed it. Why? Because you are so sinful. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. The hardness of your heart. You are so cruel. You are so wicked. You are so evil. You have full of hatred in your heart. Full of anger and bitterness. Full of murderous thoughts. Your hard-heartedness. No ounce of love in you at all. And that's why Moses allowed it, permitted it. Lest a greater evil is committed. But from the beginning, it is not so, Jesus emphasized. The hardness of your heart. Hard-heartedness is one characteristic of the unregenerate, the unbeliever. A heart that has no love of God at all. A heart that is like stone. It cannot never squeeze any water out of stone. Can never get any drop of water from a stone. No love whatsoever. And we have read the passage in 1 John 4. God is love. And if you don't love, You don't know God. And this bill of divorcement was allowed. Why? Because of an unregenerate people. There are those in Israel that were not born again, unregenerate. They know not how to love. They know not the love of Christ, the love of God. Because if they had known the love of Christ and the love of God, you wouldn't end up like this. They didn't. And Jesus was addressing these Pharisees who were unbelievers, unregenerate, although they looked very religious and pious. Jesus was exposing them for who and what they are. The hardness of your heart and those that belong to you and follow you and follow your teachings. You can divorce your wife according to your whim and fancy. The hardness of your heart. No ounce of love whatsoever for your wife. You are not children of God. For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. And God, of course, is not happy with this. And sometimes believers fall into this sin. And they stray away from the Lord. And then the love of Christ in their heart becomes very dim. And then later, husband and wife, they quarrel, can't get along. And they want a divorce. And where there is a divorce or separation, can we remarry? I'm talking to those who have married as believers, right? And then later on they divorce. Can they remarry? Recently I had to counsel an ordained minister. He's a reverend. And he just got divorced because his wife beats him up. And on a number of occasions, almost killed him. So he said, I cannot take it anymore. So he got a divorce. And after he got a divorce, he asked me, can I marry? I don't have the gift of celibacy. And I want to remarry. Can I remarry? What is the answer? What does the scripture say? The answer is very clear. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 to 11. Here Paul commanded, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, if there is a separation or a divorce, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. So if there is a separation or a divorce, can the Christian remarry or not? Now this is in the context of a couple, man and a woman, who are believers, right? And they are believers when they got married, and after a time they can't get along, they want a separation or a divorce. Is remarriage allowed? And Paul is very clear here. No remarriage. And if you want to enjoy this marital relationship, then the solution is not remarriage. The solution is reconciliation. not remarriage. Of course, when both parties are believers, it's possible that the Lord will chastise and convict of sin. And then when they repent, I'm sure the love of Christ would cause them to desire to return to their original spouse, to marry not another person, but to marry again the same person, because God sees them still as one flesh, as husband and wife. Although there is a separation and divorce here, in God's sight they are still one flesh. No remarriage. And so we have to understand this very, very clearly. And verse 6, Jesus goes back to the basics, to the fundamentals of the doctrine of marriage. Verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Right? Take note, not male and male, not female and female. That is a perversity, something most unnatural, which we find very common today. The world today is becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God should be judging right now. God is judging, but the final judgment will come one day when the iniquity is full. This whole world will end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. God will judge this world by fire. And we as Christians better live like citizens of heaven. More and more in the image of God, in the image of Christ. God made male and female, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And if there is anyone thinking here of wanting to engage in a homosexual relationship, then I say you better check your salvation. You better check whether you're truly born again. For if we are truly born again, this old creature, the old nature is no more. We are a new creation. And being a new creation with this new nature which is in Christ, these things ought to be abhorred. In fact, it is even those who are not born again, who are unbelievers, when they are born in this world, all right, God gives them this natural desire for the opposite sex, not for the same sex. It's something totally upside down. And this only shows how wicked and perverse man has become. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. You can only cleave. A man can only cleave with a woman, his wife, no one else. And this cleaving here, the word cleave is a very strong word for union. It has the idea in the original, it has the idea of soldering together two metal plates, right? And those of you in school may have done some metal work. And when I was in school, I had to do some of these. And to join two metal pieces together, you apply intense heat until the metal melts, and then you attach both ends together, and when it cools down or it hardens, the two metal pieces become one, inseparable. And this is what happens when a man and a woman comes together in holy matrimony. A man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, joined together as one, permanently. just like two metal pieces being joined or soldered together. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. One flesh. Just like your head, your arms, and your legs are connected to your body. You cannot do without them. And so your wife now is your flesh, one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Let not you put asunder. Not let anyone else tear you apart. This union is for life, till death us do part. The vow we have made, we must make it very seriously and knowingly, with deep understanding what it entails. Don't take it lightly. And there is, and once you are married and as believers, and you make that vow, and you know this doctrine, as believers, when you got married, and later on, you say, I don't want to be in this marriage union anymore, you want a divorce. And when there is a divorce, or separation, can you remarry? You cannot remarry. And you have to pray that God will have mercy to save your marriage. And you must even pray this before even a divorce is contemplated or separation occurs. Lord, save my marriage. What is wrong? What is wrong with me? And when our marriages are in the rocks, many a time we don't pray. Why? Because we still want to harbor that sin in our hearts. We refuse to pray. And that's our problem. We must pray. And prayer can change us. God can deal with us when we pray to Him and speak to us through His Word, convict us of our sin, and save our marriage. Do you pray? And we think of getting married again, the second time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, 11 is very clear. No remarriage. You pray for reconciliation. And if you come to me for counseling, I will say this is precisely what you must do. The scriptures is very clear. The only time the Bible says you can remarry, all right, is in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says here in verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Right? So the only explicit instruction in the scriptures that remarriage is allowed is only when your husband, your wife, has passed away. Then you can remarry. You are free. She is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. In other words, marry only a Christian, only a believer. Don't be unequally yoked. Now that's the clear teaching over here. And you may ask, well, you know, what if I have already committed that sin? What if I already remarried? Is there forgiveness with the Lord? Can I be forgiven of this sin? Yes, there is forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must be sincerely, sincerely sorry. And the blood that was shed on the cross is very powerful. The death of Christ on the cross, the penalty of sin that He had taken on Himself, can remove and cleanse away all these sins from us. Yes, there's forgiveness with the Lord. That's how Jesus dealt with the adulterous woman, right? Has anyone condemned you? And she was already very repentant. No one, Lord. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. There is forgiveness with the Lord. Will you not repent? Will you not confess your sins before the Lord? And He will wash away all your sins. He will forgive you. And then go and sin no more. And teach people likewise. Don't sin against the Lord. Don't follow this example of mine. Go with the Word of God, and there's much blessing to be received and enjoyed when we follow God's Word strictly. Please bear this in mind. Look at the Lord Jesus. He loved us so much. He is the head of the church, the bridegroom. The church is His bride. And He has married us. And this marriage is for life, for eternity. And Jesus will never break the vow, the oath, the covenant He made with His people. No divorce. Once Christ had married us and we are married to Christ, it's forever. And our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is very faithful to His church. And once He has saved us, He will save us unto the very end. No question about it. And if Jesus is like this, and we belong to Him, and we call His name, we say we are His disciples, then let us have this love of Christ in our lives as well. Especially in our marital life, between husband and wife. Divorce is never an option, because divorce is never an option in the mind of Christ with regard to His church. Divorce should never be an option in your life, in your marital relationship with each other. It's a union that must be lifelong. Yes, there are struggles. But the Lord has promised to be with us. And so struggle in and with Lord Jesus Christ through much study of the Scriptures, meditation on His Word, a heart that desires to obey the Scriptures, to know more and more of the Scriptures, to put God first in your life. Make sure to keep the Lord's Day holy. Don't skip the Lord's Supper. These are all means of grace. But when we take them lightly, we expose ourselves and we become very vulnerable to the world and to the false teachings that are out there in the world that tries to seduce us and tempt us away from the Lord. So please, don't forget this important lesson. Applicable to us who are already married, and applicable to those who intend to get married. Our young people especially, be very careful. You keep yourselves away from the temptations and from the trends and the thinking and the philosophy of this sinful and wicked world. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please save us rescue us from this sinful, wicked, and adulterous generation. We may be a people that will be good and faithful witnesses of thy truth. That we have the attitude and the behavior of those who belong to thy kingdom. Others may see the light and be drawn to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.